Pitch on the way, and it's lined deep to right field. Down the line, that is up, up, and there she goes. A long two-run home run for Colby Rasmus, number two. And the Blue Jays get right back in front 6-5 here in the sixth inning in Kansas City.
That's one of two home runs for Colby Rasmus tonight. That one, off a lefty, gave the Blue Jays that 6-5 lead after they had blown the 4-1 lead, and then they tacked on three more in the seventh, including a second home run for Rasmus and a two-run shot for Edwin Encarnacion, and beat the Kansas City Royals 9-5. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. Not a whole lot of time before we have to let the network go, but there will be more on the other side on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. So make sure you stick with us, or on sportsnet590.ca if you're all across this wonderful country of ours. Let's start the phones going, though, with Jonathan in East York, listening on our flagship station. Jonathan, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Mike. Great game tonight. Really encouraged by the bottom of the order. Wanted to ask you, though, about Encarnacion. What sort of adjustments do you think he's made to get off to the good start that he has?
I think he just kept going from what he was doing last year. And I think the most important thing for Edwin was just to get out of his own head. That's what was giving him so many problems last year. He was embarrassing himself in the field and took that with him to the plate. But from the end of June on, he was terrific for the Blue Jays. He still didn't hit with the power that I thought he was going to hit with, but he was sensational. So I think he's just kind of kept that going, and he's more comfortable now. He knows his role. He knows he's not going to be asked to step in and be a full-time third baseman. Brett Laurie's presence has helped Edwin Encarnacion tremendously because he knows he doesn't have to worry about that anymore, and I really think that's the biggest key for him.
Now, speaking of embarrassing yourself in the field, how long are we going to tolerate Eric Thames?
I don't think you've been tolerating Eric Thames. The guy's played 13 games, and he's made three mistakes. And today wasn't even really a mistake. Today was a ball that kicked back on him, and he slipped when he tried to reverse his field. I don't know if the ground was wet or not, but whatever. That was a hop that you can't possibly expect. And I don't have a problem with that play. He butchered two fly balls in the first week of the season. There's certainly no question about that. But I don't think there's anything that you're tolerating. He's an average to below average defensive left fielder, and there are plenty of those across Major League Baseball. Thanks for the call, Jonathan. We are short on time, but there will be time for more Blue Jays talk on the other side on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We will check out the scoreboard and some real interesting stuff. The Blue Jays beat the Royals 9-5. It's a Honda postgame show on the Blue Jays Radio Network. Welcome back to Baseball Control in Toronto. Mike Wilner here with you in the wake of a 9-5 Blue Jays win over the Kansas City Royals. Drew Hutchison gives up five runs on seven hits over five and a third innings. A 21-year-old picks up his first major league win. Two home runs for Colby Rasmus, one for Edwin Encarnacion. They both had three hits on the night. J.P. Arencibia and Brett Laurie had two each. Quick look at the scoreboard. On the go right now, the Angels are leading Baltimore 4-2. They're in the midst of a four-run bottom of the fifth and still hitting. Cleveland up on Oakland 1-0 in the top of the fourth. Earlier, the Red Sox had a 9-0 lead in the sixth inning, but the Yankees put up a 7 spot in the seventh and then did it again in the eighth. They beat Boston 15-9. Mark Teixeira homered twice, drove in six. Nick Swisher had six RBIs as well with a grand slam. The Rays beat the Twins 4-1. Texas and Detroit split a doubleheader. Rangers took the opener 10-4. Detroit the nightcap 3-2. And Phillip Umber had his first big league complete game, and it was a perfect game as the White Sox beat Seattle 4-0, the 20th regular season perfect game in Major League history. Jays and Royals continue the series tomorrow afternoon. We're on at 1:30 Eastern for a 2:10 first pitch, Ricky Romero against Danny Duffy. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Alan Ashby, Tom Young, Derek Brandeo, Dylan Brown, and Joe Sicilia, I'm Mike Wilner. good night from Toronto.
And the 0-2 pitch hammered to left center field. Going back is Gordon. He's chasing. This one is out of here. Edwin Encarnacion has hammered a two-run home run, extending the Blue Jays' lead. It's now 8-5 Toronto.
And the Blue Jays would add another home run later in that seventh inning. Colby Rasmus's second of the game. And they beat the Kansas City Royals 9-5. They are now on their fourth two-game win streak of the season. They also have three two-game losing streaks this year. They are 8-6 and a half game back of the New York Yankees for first place in the American League East. Barry Davis from Kansas City just sending out on Twitter that the Blue Jays have placed Sergio Santos on the 15-day disabled list with inflammation in his right shoulder. That is not good news. Evan Crawford has been recalled. So now the Blue Jays' bullpen depth will be tested, and the bullpen has not looked good early this season. Already four blown saves, though they could very easily have had a fifth today, and Darren Oliver did a great job striking out Mitch Meyer with the tying run on third in the bottom of the sixth inning and then getting Unieski Betancourt to line out. But Santos out. And that means that Francisco Cordero will be the closer now. And the eighth inning will be Casey Jansen, Darren Oliver, Jason Fraser. Evan Crawford, again, has been called up to replace Sergio Santos. So not great news, but we know this bullpen is good. We know this bullpen is deep. And we'll see what happens. Phone lines are open. It is the Blue Jays talk. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. And long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Let's check in with Will in Hamilton. Hello, Will.
Hey, Mike. How's it going? Very, very fun game to watch tonight, eh?
Indeed. And better to listen to.
Yes. Well, I kind of find myself watching while having the radio up in the anyway.
Excellent.
Yeah, but no, great game. Watching the ball leave Colby Rasmus's bat, I think so much of what fans give him grief for in terms of his laid back approach, like the ball just pops off his bat like hardly anybody has seen. Probably Travis Snyder is the best example. But like just such a free swing, and it's almost like he takes a minute after he finishes his swing and the ball's already gone.
He has a beautiful swing. He really does. It's not quite John Olerud-esque, but it's reminiscent of those great left-handed swings. And that's one of the reasons, that and his track record, that I was on all spring. Don't worry. He'll be fine. Everything's okay. He's got the batting average up to 275 right now, and he's really swinging well. And I expect more of this in the future.
Yeah, it's just really promising. I've never really given up on him at all just because of his track record and because he's always looked very natural playing both in center and at the plate. He was just getting a little bit maligned last season, but everything he's made contact with so far this season has been hit really hard, and he's just hit a couple of gloves early in the season. But between him, Johnson, they've shored up the defense, and I mean, I think we're starting to see a lot of these pieces that Alex has started to like assemble, and it just takes a while. It takes some patience, like you said, for these guys to come around and show why they were brought here in the first place.
Yeah, I agree with you completely, and I appreciate the call, Will. Patience is really, really something that's very important to watch baseball. It's April 21st. And people were drawing conclusions. I mean, in March, I was asked, so is it going to be Mike McCoy or Luis Valbuena at second for the Jays because they're going to release Kelly Johnson, right? And I don't know how many people I heard from on Twitter all winter long, all spring long, the first week and a half of the season. What's the deal with this Colby Rasmus? Why is he playing? What's going on? Why isn't he in AAA? You just have to let the talent come out, and you have to trust track records. And good things happen. Dave in Toronto, you're on the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Mike, thanks for having me on.
Thanks for calling.
I'm usually a guy that loves to call up the Blue Jays Talk and debate some stuff and, have some questions about some of the subtleties around what's going on with the team. But I'll tell you, tonight's a night that as much as it was a bit of an up-and-down game for the first four or five innings, I think tonight's a night to just kind of sit back and say the bats were unbelievable and the base running tonight in that that blow-open inning in whatever it was, the fourth or the fifth.
The fourth inning, the two hit and runs in that
fourth
inning.
They went first to third, and yep. Then even Aaron Sebia going first to third was, I mean, that aggressive base running just can win you ball games, and it just turns things around, and it was just so unbelievable to watch. It shows the excitement on the team. The other thing that I wanted to comment on, and then I was going to ask you about what you thought of Hutchison tonight, but the other thing I was going to comment on is this defense tonight, how many times I've seen Kelly Johnson pivot at second with an absolute bullet from Lowry and handle that pivot just with ease. It's unbelievable, and I can't even remember the last time I've seen such solid defense by the Jays. I mean, it probably back to the World Series years, you know, when they had Alomar and they had Gruber at third and they had White in the outfield. I mean, up the middle, they are unbelievable. And I'm actually really surprised. I know you were high on Johnson last year, even before the Jays made the trade, and you were saying he would be a good free agent guy to go after to replace Aaron Hill if they didn't decide to commit to Aaron Hill. And I'll tell you were bang on because he's struggling a little bit at the plate, but you can see the potential there. But defensively, he's unbelievable.
Well, he was 1-for-2 with 3 walks tonight, and that's a good sign. And that means you're seeing the ball well, and he's starting to come out of it, but he hasn't really been in it for that long. Kelly Johnson's a very, very, very good offensive.
What did you think of Hutchison?
I thought I was very impressed. I thought he looked so comfortable and relaxed. You know, the first four innings were just a breeze for him. And then in the fifth, he broke two bats and he got hit hard twice. But really, they should have turned a triple play behind him, which is amazing to say. I don't think I've ever said that sentence before in my life. The Blue Jays should have turned a triple play tonight behind Drew Hutchison. And that would have saved him two more runs in that inning and it wouldn't have looked nearly as bad.
Yeah, I thought he had a lot of poise. I mean, when he gave up the first home run, he came back and struck out two guys in the first.
Yep.
I mean, I was impressed with that. I actually was expecting him to have a little bit more in his repertoire. He threw a lot of fastballs. The changeup got hit a little hard, or I don't know if it was a changeup or a sinker he throws. But I saw that he got hit a little bit hard with that secondary stuff. But then again, he's only 21, not much of a finished product yet. But, I mean, I thought he kind of grinded it out and battled pretty well. So, I mean, for his first appearance, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, I have no complaints at all about what Drew Hutchison did tonight. And it's funny, in the first four innings, after every hit he gave up, he struck out the next guy. And again, the fifth inning starts with a broken bat double, which was a single that kicked off to the left on Eric Thames and got by him. And then Mitch Meyer hit the crap out of a ball and hit it out of off the wall in right field for a triple. But then he gives up a bloop single and a walk, which was his second walk of the night. And with first and second and nobody out, he gets a hard ground ball to third by Billy Butler, who doesn't run well, and Brett Laurie does not pick it cleanly. It still manages to get a double play out of it. He picks it cleanly. That's a triple play. The team doesn't turn one in 33 years, and they were going to get two on two nights. But then Eric Hosmer takes him deep, and that inning looks awfully ugly. But I thought John Farrell was going to take him out after the home run. He left him in. And he got Francoeur to fly out to end the inning and then get the first out of the sixth inning before a walk and a ground ball single, and he's yanked. So Hutchison gave up 7 hits tonight, and 1, 2, 3 of them were ground balls, One was a broken bat. One was a bloop. 5 out of 7. I'll take that from a 21-year-old who's pitched 6 games above A ball. Phone lines are open. It is the Blue Jays talk to the top of the hour. Get to dialing at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Jays get the win, but their closer hits the DL. George Russick's got an update, then more of your calls on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
There go the runners. The pitch hit on the ground left side, and that's through into left field. Lowry comes around third base that he just barely and hopefully taps with a foot as he ran over the bag initially, and the Royals are going to appeal down at third base. Lowry scores the run, assuming he is called safe, and he is called safe.
That was a hit and run, and it was the second straight hit and run. Well, actually, the second in 3 batters as Lowry and Rasmus were off with a crack of the bat, and JP grounded one right through the shortstop hole, almost at right at Lowry, and he had to kind of hop over it and then dance around third base, but he made sure not to just, some guys will just try to brush their foot over the bag, but Lowry did a great job to make sure that the umpire saw him. He kicked third base awfully hard as he went by and came around to score, and at the time, that made it 2-1 Blue Jays, 3-1 Blue Jays. They would add another run on an RBI single by Yunel Escobar. Royals got 4 in the 5th, but then the Jays started to play long ball. And in the 6th, Colby Rasmus went deep. In the 7th, Edwin Encarnacion and Rasmus again went deep. And the Jays went on to a 9-5 win. After the game, again, the Blue Jays placed Sergio Santos on the 15-day disabled list with inflammation in his right shoulder, which probably explains why he hasn't been terrific to this point this year. And why he wasn't up and warming when the save situation presented itself in the 9th inning as Carlos Villanueva gave up an infield single and then walked Mitch Meyer to put the tying run in the hole. It was Francisco Cordero up and throwing. But Villanueva struck out Unieski Betancourt and then got Alex Gordon to bounce into a double play to end the ball game. 9-5, the score of the Blue Jays beat the Kansas City Royals. Just getting a tweet from at Mike Braincloud asking, does this team look like they have their swagger back? I have to say, you can't ride the roller coaster like this. The Blue Jays have 1-2, lost 2, 1-2, lost 2, 1-2 all season long. So it can't be that when they win their second straight, everything's fine. And then when they lose the 2 in a row, they're horrible and major changes need to be made. It's a long season, 148 games to go. Try to stay off the roller coaster. Stan in Hamilton, you're on the Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hi, Mike. Drew Hudson, he was okay, but I wasn't overly impressed with him. I mean, I thought in the fifth inning, I thought for sure Farrell was going to come and take him out. I mean, he really seemed to struggle, threw a lot of balls, got behind counts.
He's 21 years old and making his 7th start above A ball.
I'm not calling him that he can't be a good pitcher or anything like that.
Well, but I mean, how much could you possibly have expected?
I don't know. I thought he was okay. But my real beef was I was kind of shocked when Farrell brought him out in the 6th. I mean, it was obvious in the 5th that he struggled pretty mightily.
I don't think it was obvious at all.
Well, I don't know.
He faced 7 batters in the 5th inning and 2 of them hit the ball hard.
He was behind the count, and I think...
Yeah, he was, and yet only 2 out of 7 hitters hit the ball hard.
Well,
and he'd only thrown, what,
balls. He, like,
90 pitches?
Were you not surprised you brought him out in the 6th?
I was very surprised he brought him out in the 6th.
I mean, okay, we battled back to take the lead in the top of the 6th. So I thought, okay, the kid's pitched 5 innings. Let's give him a chance for a win. Let's not... You know, I was shocked that he brought him out in the 6th, and then, you know, we get 2 on. I mean, thank God that... You know, our guy came in and stopped the rally, but I just was kind of shocked that he brought him out in the 6th. That didn't.
So was I, but you know what? Alan Ashby made the point on the broadcast, and it makes sense that bringing him out in the 6th inning indicates that this is a long-term thing. That, you know, here he was, 5 innings pitched, 1-run ball game, going into the 6th inning, 90 pitches or thereabouts, maybe a little bit less. anybody else, you're going to send him back out for the sixth inning. And it's an indication that the manager is saying, look, you're a part of this team, you're a part of this group, and this is what we do. And so, yeah, like you, I was really, really stunned. But that's an interesting line of reasoning from Alan Ashby, and there's a lot of merit to it.
Well, I mean, obviously, I hope he works out. I mean, I don't know. He doesn't, you know, I was impressed with Henderson Alvarez last year when he come out and he pitched really well. I wasn't near as impressed with Drew Hutchinson, but hopefully he'll work out. I mean, I guess for now he's the fifth starter. Is that the way we look at it?
Yep. He's the fifth starter. Yeah, he is.
One other thing.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay, can I have one other question?
Why not?
Bautista, the second half of last year, he wasn't near. What was his average second half of last year? Because he seems to have carried over to this year.
He's 260 or so.
At the moment, he's a bit of a rally killer.
Yeah, he was bad tonight. 0-for-5, hit into a couple of double plays, though one of them was a line.
Tonight only. I mean, and I'm not saying, I know it's early in the year.
Uh-huh.
But, like, just even the second half of last year, he wasn't the player that he'd been sort of the first half in the year before. I'm just wondering what your thoughts are. I mean, are you starting to get worried about the guy?
No, I'm not starting to get worried about the
guy.
Why? Because I don't do that. Because, you know, I don't look at a little sample and start to get worried about it.
The second half of last year doesn't mean nothing to you?
It means something, but then you have to, you know, not see it in a vacuum, and it's the same thing with Hutchison almost.
Well,
like,
well,
you're disappointed by Drew Hutchison, but you're not considering the fact that he's 21 years old, making his major league debut, had 6 starts in his life above A-ball, and when you consider all those things, this was a really good start for Drew Hutchison. When you consider that Jose Bautista fell off last year after exploding his ankle in a slide into third right after the All-Star game and wrenching his neck, and he was playing hurt, and he still managed an on-base percentage over 400, and he still managed to lead the league in on-base plus slugging over the course of the entire season, that's pretty solid. Yes, his offense did fall off in the second half, but it fell off at the rate that I think would have still put him in the top 10 in the league in on-base plus slugging if you just looked at those numbers alone. So he's off to a bad start this year. There's no question that he's off to a bad start this year. But take a look at his monthly splits in 2010, that year that he emerged to become what he became for 2 years, which was the best hitter in baseball. He hit .213 in April with only 4 home runs. Kevin is in London, also listening on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Man, we got good coverage. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, Mike. So first off, yeah, I think Bautista is going to be fine. Second, I just wanted to say, anybody who's watching on Rogers and they don't get Sportsnet 1, you can actually watch these games on RogersOnDemand.com. And
see,
I just wanted to talk
nicely
about Hutchison. So I just have a few comments and a quick question. So first, I thought he kept his fastball low. His fastball had some nice late movement on it. And he started.
Wasn't it great, too, that when he was missing low? Like,
yeah,
you get killed when the fastball creeps up. But when he was missing low.
Yeah, no, he started the game with a lot of 0-2 counts and was getting ahead. And then just later in the game, he wasn't wild at all. He was just missing his fastball low. And, you know, that's encouraging for his first start, like major league debut. He had his family there, all that. And I actually like that Farrell left him out there for the sixth. I think it's. You know, it's his game. His pitch count was manageable. I think it was in the high 80s when he came out in the sixth. And I agree with Ashby that it shows a long-term commitment to this guy. But basically, my question is, what do you think the leash is for Hutchison on the season? So I realize he's the number 5 starter right now. And on good teams, you know, that guy's a 500 pitcher. So if he struggles, how long do you give him?
I don't know. It's a good question. I'm not sure. I think they're committed to him long-term, which doesn't necessarily mean that they're committed to him being in the rotation for the rest of the season, but they believe he's going to be a very big part of this team's future success. But I don't know. You don't want to send a guy out there if he's getting his ears pinned back every time out, though it doesn't seem like it would bother him. He seems completely unflappable, and I base that on having met him a couple of times, watched him all through spring training and tonight as well. Dustin McGowan's going to be back eventually, whether it's late May or early June or a little bit later on. And one would think, all else being equal, when he comes back, it's Hutchison's spot that he's going to take. But we'll see what happens. I mean, very rare is the 21-year-old who makes it to the major leagues and never gets optioned back out. So I think that they, you know, they don't want to ruin him. But if he pitches, I mean, it'll be a similar leash, I guess, to what Kyle Drabek had last year, but a longer one than the one Brett Cecil had.
At least.
Sorry, you say that again?
I was thinking like 10 starts at least. Like, similar to what Drabek had last year.
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, I don't think you can throw a number on it like that because there's nothing, you can't look at it in a vacuum. Each start tells its own story. So I don't think you can say 10 starts. We'll see what happens. 10 starts a long time, too. McGowan could very well be back by then. Eric is in Kitchener. Eric, why aren't you listening to us on 570 News?
I just happen to have it on the TV here. So.
Oh, okay. Good enough.
My question is, first of all, I want to say I have no real worries about the Jays start. I think there's been more good signs than bad signs.
I think the fact that they're 8-6 with so many unfortunate things having happened to this point is a really good sign.
And considering that they've played Tampa and Boston already, I'm not really concerned about the start at all. But the question I do have for you is this. It seems to me that the Jays do a lot of arguing on balls and strikes for a reasonably young team.
And you think that... That applies to all of them or just, you know, kind of one guy?
Well, there's no doubt about that Batista is probably the poster child for that, for the Jays. I've noticed it with a few others, and I'm just curious on your take of that. Me as a Jays fan, I would think that some of the teams and some of the team's fans might perceive them as... a bit whiny that way for a young team.
Well, I don't think young or old matters. I don't think you need to qualify it that way, but you may just have been looking at those last two games against Tampa Bay that they lost where the guys were very vocal because they were getting Molina'd all over the place, top to bottom. I mean, Jose Molina stole 30 pitches in two games that were balls that he pulled into the strike zone and got called strikes. So, They were well within their rights to be upset about stuff like that. But I really haven't seen it with anybody other than Bautista with any kind of regularity at all. And it's concerning that he gets so upset and that he's so demonstrative, but he hasn't been run yet, so obviously he hasn't crossed any lines. I just don't think he looks good, and I think the umpires don't like it, and you don't want to get those guys on your bad side. So, but beyond him, no, I don't think anybody has a real issue.
Okay, that's fair enough.
All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Chris in Mississauga on the Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Just a question about what you think about Luis Perez, and with Santos going down, how open do you think that closing position really is on the Jays for the season?
It is not.
Okay.
No. Francisco Cordero is going to be the closer. And if Francisco Cordero can't be the closer, Casey Jansen will probably be the closer.
Yeah, I've just seen some good stuff from Perez and wondering if he had a shot, or like how it works, if he's kind of stuck as a middle reliever or kind of goes from there.
Well, no, he's been terrific. There's no debate about that. Perez has been very, very good so far this year. But, he's probably fourth on the list
of
closers and maybe even fifth. With Oliver and Fraser in there as well. His stuff plays over multiple innings, and there's utility in that. Francisco Cordero is second on the active saves list, and he's coming off a fantastic year last year with the Reds. So,
yeah, of course.
And Fraser's closing experience. Jansen's had a couple of saves in there too, but it's going to be a while, I think, till we see Luis Perez get a shot at that.
Yeah, no, for sure. Thanks. Just impressed by him, so looking forward to seeing him again.
All right, thanks. You should be impressed. Appreciate the call. You should be impressed. He's been phenomenal. Peter is in St. Catharines. Hello, Peter.
Hello, Mike. Nice to speak to you once again.
Thank you. Go ahead.
I just have a question. Just a general baseball question, if you don't mind.
Sure, shoot.
Yeah, okay. Do you think generally right now who makes what positions players make eventually end up making being the best managers? Do you think it's catchers? It seems to me that over my time watching baseball, the catchers are very good, make the best managers. Agree or disagree?
I don't know. I don't know that there's a best. I don't like pigeonholing things like that. I think that there have been catchers who have made very, very good managers.
Right.
There have been pitchers who've made very good managers. Mm-hmm. There have been third basemen mm-hmm. who've been very good managers, outfielders. Mm-hmm. I think more catchers get to be managers. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe they're seen as the more cerebral player. And I think
they see the field more than
They're the only ones who look out at the field for the whole game and they have to call the game and all that stuff.
Right.
But I don't necessarily think that that means that they make necessarily better managers. Mm-hmm. I think they do get more opportunities. I mean, you look at John Farrell and you see how rare the opportunity was for him and how there were a lot of stories when John Farrell got hired. Oh, it's so weird to have a pitcher as a manager. So unusual. Pitchers aren't supposed to be managers. They're supposed to be pitching coaches. And, pitching coaches don't become managers. Look at guys like Roger Craig and Leo Mazzoni was never a manager and things like that. You know, you look at Bud Black, who's had great success as a skipper with San Diego. There's another pitcher. You have Mike Socha, who was a catcher. Joe Torre started out as a catcher. Joe Girardi was a catcher. But Cito Gaston was an outfielder, but Johnny Gibbons was a catcher. Those are the top two on the Blue Jays career list of wins for managers. So I don't think X position will make a better manager. I think that it's the person and not what position he happened to play. And I think that's going to do it for us. The Blue Jays beat the Kansas City Royals 9-5 on a great night for baseball. Perfect game for Philip Umber. The Red Sox blow a 9-run lead. Yankees get a 7-run seventh and a 7-run eighth for the win. Great night of baseball tonight. Even the Texas Rangers lose to Justin Verlander. How about that? Tomorrow we'll be back 1:30, 2:10 first pitch. Ricky Romero and Danny Duffy. Thanks to Joe Sicilia. Thanks to Derek Brandeo. We'll see you then.